And it means holy or divine reading. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. They go on to say, it's a traditional Christian practice of prayer and scriptural reading intended to engender communion with the triune God and to increase in the knowledge of God's word. That's kind of big. Also with some big words I didn't get, but that's okay. The third definition on Wikipedia was this: a way of praying scripture that calls one to study, ponder, listen, pray, and rejoice from God's word within the soul. I have to say, I was kind of impressed with Wikipedia. I'm like, all right, my job's done. There we go. Sermon over. But I thought, okay, maybe that's a little too simple. So we break it down. Lectio Divina actually has four parts. And I'm going to be rather brief this morning because I'll tell you up front, my intention is that we're going to practice a little bit this morning and be able to send you home not only with the academic knowledge of how to do this, but some kinesthetic understanding of how do I step into this week. So it might be a little uncomfortable, but you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. We're going to make it. Lectio Divina is made up of four movements. And those four movements, very quickly, are lectio, or the read movement. This is where you read through the passage of scripture that you're going to be meditating on. And you just listen. The easiest part, you just listen. What are the pieces that pop out? What are the pieces that kind of move in your heart? Which parts make you angry? Which parts confuse you? And just listen. No judgment. No, like, taking it apart and what does that mean? Nothing. Just listen. The second piece is, I don't even know how to say the Latin part. So we're going to call it the reflection one. I know you're laughing at me, Scott. reflection. Reflecting on these words. So once we move through the reading, we're going to step into the second movement of Lectio Divina. And you are going to get a chance to say, okay, why? Why is that piece frustrating me? Why is it encouraging me? Why is it speaking to me? Why won't it let me go? And we're going to ask those questions, not just in a vacuum, like in your own mind, like, what do I think about them? But we're going to actively invite God's voice into those questions. And we're going to sit in them as we read again. Say, why won't it let me go? Why? What is it saying to me? Our third piece is the chance where we get to respond. And again, this is just you and God responding. Man, God, that's really confusing to me. I don't understand. Or wow, thank you for that encouragement. Our fourth piece is the contemplation piece, rest. Now we've like worked through all of that and we've talked. Now we get to rest for a moment. And when we're all done, there's kind of a fifth piece, but kind of not. It's the resolution or the resolved piece. Okay, now I have this, and it's going to live with me today. So that's Wikipedia's answer. I like to think of Lectio Divina much more simply as my actual opportunity to breathe scripture and talk to God. Way more simple. Scripture is interactive. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to touch your heart. It's supposed to live. God's supposed to speak to you through it. You're supposed to hear his voice. I love that. I love that I actually hear God's voice in what he wrote. I hear God's voice in the people that he's used through the ages to write things. He speaks to me, and I get to talk. And we get to rest. And I get to respond to how he's working in me. So that's the simple part. What is it? Any questions? Seriously? Anyone? We've got academically what Lectio Divina is. It's pretty straightforward. Now here's the hard part. Why? Why? Why should I spend in the busyness of my life? Why? Why do I stop? Why take this time and allow this space? And I found a really great quote from one of my favorite people in all the world, Mr. Bonhoeffer. And this is what he says about this particular form of prayer and meditation. The word of Scripture should never stop sounding in your ears and working in you all day long. Just like the words of someone you love, and just as you do not analyze the words of someone you love, but accept them as they are said to you, accept the word of Scripture and ponder it in your heart, as Mary did. That is all. Do not ask, how shall I pass this on? But what does it say to me? Then ponder this word long in your heart until it has gone right into you and taken possession of you. Man, I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's awesome. I'm like, okay, that's a good reason. I need to let it take possession of me. And then I got to thinking, Scripture must say something about this. It has to. I had a professor in college, and he opened the class one semester, and he said this: half of you are going to fail my class. I'm like, that's awesome, because this is macroeconomics, and I'm horrible at this. Like, math is not my strong suit. And it was part of my course, so I had to pass. But then his next words were really cool. So he says, if you don't want to fail, here's some insight into how to take notes in my class. Sweet. Because I'm a checklist kind of girl. If I say something once, it was worth communicating. And you should listen. If I say it twice, you should write it down. If I say it yet a third time, guaranteed it's on the test. My God. Wow. That's great. Not to leave you hanging, I did pass macroeconomics after the second time. Yeah. So I thought, wow. In my study, I came across this quote: Scripture uses the word meditation or some derivative of it 58 times. So I'm thinking, God probably is going to put that one on the test. So we should know a thing or two. And I thought, I'm just going to read what he has to say. So I'm just going to go straight from Scripture, and I'm not cool enough to put these up. I'm really sorry. So if you can keep up and find them, that's awesome. Philippians 2, our passage this morning, the piece that got a hold of me is, where'd it go? In your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. I think in the King James, that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One way we can do that is meditation. Let this mind be in you. Psalm. In the Psalms. My page. 1, verses 1 through 3. Happy are those who don't listen to the wicked, who don't go where sinners go, who don't do what evil people do. They love the Lord's teachings, and they think or meditate about those teachings day and night. Psalm 119. Verse 97. How I love your teachings. I think, I meditate about them all day long. Psalm 119, verse 102. I haven't walked away from your laws because you yourself are my teacher. Psalm 119, verse 148. I stay awake all night so I can think or meditate about your promises. Meditation is part of what God speaks to us about in Scripture. It's pretty important for him. So, I mean, he said it 58 times. Thought maybe I should step up and listen. So one reason is that God specifically mentions it multiple times in Scripture. The second reason is to learn his voice. How can we know him if we haven't spent time listening? If some stranger calls me up and I answer the phone, I have no clue who that person is. None. If one of you calls me, in a heartbeat, I know your voice. I know who you are. And if I get a text message or an email from you, I don't just read the flat words. It's never like that for me. I was teased forever about having voices in my head. Some of you know I kind of have accents. and I think that's because I love people. I love people. And so when I read your emails, when I read your texts, I don't just see the words. Gabby's exuberance comes through. Gary's thoughtfulness is there. Like, I hear you. And your voice is in my head as I read you. The same way with Scripture. We're going to know God's voice. The more you read it, the more you think on it, the more you ruminate in it and let it live in you, the more you're going to know his voice. I asked one of my managers one time when I was one of my superiors, I guess I was a manager. I was counting down the deposit one night, and they said, we need to be aware we have some counterfeit money going around the community. I was like, oh, well, what does it look like? And his answer was, you don't need to worry about that. Because if you've handled hundreds and thousands of dollars, in an instant, you know what's wrong. Wow, this one doesn't fit. One of these things is not like the others. It's, again, same with God's voice. You spend time with Scripture, you think on it, you pray on it, you call it back to him, you breathe in it, you live in it all day long, you're going to know God's voice. He said, my sheep know my voice. They hear me. I know them and they will follow me. And Gabby and I were talking about this. And Gabby's walked through an interesting faith journey. Come on up. But meditation has been a big part of that, I know, for her. And so, as we were talking, I think my question was, in trying to discern God's voice in your life, what are the things that you've used? Microphone.
Right. I told her she could give me a question and answer. I don't know if that was very smart. Yes. I specifically use silence probably most of all. But in that silence, I use some verses that since a child I feel like I've known. And some I've learned as an adult here.
Which ones are those?
Be still and know that I am God. The Beatitudes and the Our Father, and I will repeat them. And when Jesus talked to a tax collector one time, he said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that stuck with me. And I just repeat that. And I also do this. I don't know if it's autistic tendencies. I teach special ed. I do this a lot.
You're special.
I am very special. Yeah, so... I repeat them. I also have this kind of, not a gift, characteristic that I don't stop until I know something fully, which makes me a really intense person. Thanks all of my friends for dealing with me. But specifically, if I'm struggling with something, I won't stop reading it until I get it. I don't understand why Jesus lets children suffer, so I read a lot about how he calls the children to him. And I still don't get it. I don't have the resolve portion on any of Scripture yet, which is fine. Young, I guess. But I really just go to Scripture because at this point in my life, that's the only proof that I have that God exists and the only voice that I have. So I'm hoping that if I keep repeating it, that maybe the resolve will happen with just a few words, and then I'll keep reading. So that's it, I guess. Do you have any more questions?
No, that's it. Okay. Great. I think when Gabby and I were talking, the thing that struck me within our conversation is that this type of prayer, taking Scripture and breathing it constantly over and over again, she said for her was the only way she's hearing God's voice right now. That was kind of insightful to me. Wow, possibly then I should be looking at Scripture. I just, to hear God's voice, to learn it. The third reason is for change. Like we said in the beginning, the whole point of spiritual formation is that we can grow. Be changed into something or someone that God can use on a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment basis. That's the point. So why should we do Lectio Divina? Because it is one tool. Not the only one. It is one tool, though, to affect change in our lives. I don't know if you remember our first Sunday when we first started talking about that in the beginning of September. Todd and I shared the message on, you heard it said, but I say unto you. Todd spoke specifically out of 2 Corinthians 3:18, and the piece that kind of has stuck with me all month, it just really isn't letting go, is the little piece of the verse that says, and we are being changed to be like him. The whole point of spiritual formation. But the gift of spiritual formation is that the weight of that isn't on you. It isn't your job to change yourself. You can't fix you. And trust me, I've tried. You can't fix you. It really does take a divine God who understands his own vision and has the perfect ability to redeem his creation, us included. It's his promise. But he does ask for our participation. And one tool to manifest that participation is Lectio Divina. Christian meditation is the ability to hear God's voice and obey his word. John 10:3, the sheep hear his voice and he calleth his own sheep by name. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. We're going to know God's voice by listening and living in it and breathing it. Hello, God. Breathing in this scripture, like we do, like you breathe in and out. Lectio Divina gives us the tools to take pieces of that with us throughout the day. So the last question I had left with as I was preparing for this was how. We've answered what. We've answered why. How do we do this? And it's really, really, really simple. I think my favorite quote in studying any kind of meditation, and I don't remember who said it because, like I've said before, I'm a mess at remembering names. The way we learn how to meditate is to meditate. That's it. Like, there's really not anything crazy about it. You just got to do it. And I was raised Baptist, and all we ever sang were hymns. You laugh. But I love them. I love them. And the one that kept coming back to me this week was a hymn by Charles Austin Miles, who I found out actually was raised in this area. He's now buried in Jersey, so I thought that was kind of cool. The hymn is called In the Garden. I'm going to read a little bit. I'm going to read this hymn, and then we're going to talk specifically about how we're going to practice this morning. So it's a short sermon. Good practice. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds stop their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go. Through my voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. To me, that sounded exactly like this, a chance to walk in the garden with God. Through his voice, through his words, and in his time. And know that we are his own, and he wants to speak to us. So as we step into how, I've been reading this book, Sacred Rhythms, by Ruth Haley Barton. I think actually Todd's mom gave it to me. And I was trying to see how I could, like, break this down, chew it up, and spit it back out, and I thought, there's no way. Ruth said it just perfectly. So to the extent that I can, I'm just going to share what she had to say in very practical terms about how to practice Lectio Divina. In preparation, seriously, find yourself a comfortable position. This is not so different from contemplative prayer that we talked about before. Make this habitual. Make it ritual. Because the place that you find to pray, the more in tune and unaware of that place you are, the easier it will be to focus on what God has to say to you and how he wants you to listen to his scripture. So as you come into that place, take a moment, sit. Take a deep breath, clear your mind, and prepare yourself to become consciously aware of God's presence. Obviously, God is always with us, Another book. Man, I really need to get better about writing these down. Prayer is not actually us stepping into God's presence. Prayer is actually us kind of waking up to the fact that God's presence is here and connecting. Like opening up your actual consciousness and saying, oh, wow, yeah, that's right. God is here now. Be quiet. Be still. Be with me here. Be aware of him. I often take a moment, actually the words that are in my head, and now that I'm trying to say them in front of you, they're gone. I acknowledge your presence and action within me. I'm loving you as you are loving me. That's it. Okay, then you're going to pick, or you have probably already picked your passage. So now we are entering into our first movement, our reading. You just need to read it with no agenda, no motivation, no thought for what you think you're going to get out of this, no, nothing. Just read it. That's it. Just read it. You're probably going to read it through at least two or three times, and I know we are this morning, the passage, we're going to read at least twice. Kind of make a mental note. These are the words and phrases that have gotten a hold of my heart and won't let go of my mind. As we read it, we're going to step into our second movement, response. What is my response? And those are the things we talked about before. What in this passage is grabbing my attention, won't let go of me, even angers me, frustrates me, highlights something in me that I was not aware of? Get it. Hang on to it. And like we talked about, invite God into it. Why is this being highlighted right now, God? She actually was talking in here. She had one particular experience. She thought she was doing pretty good. She's like, having my devotions, feeling all swell. And she got into her meditation and realized a very deep, breathing, living anger with a situation that had happened quite some time before. So often we're good at deceiving ourselves. And the things that God speaks to us about is his attempt to call something out that we've tried to hide or we've tried to bury or we think we're done with. I've processed that. I'm good. God's like, no, I'm not done with that. I'm going to pull it back out. The next time we read through is going to be your response. It's your chance to take these things. God, I don't know what to do about this. I do seem to be frustrated. I do seem to be confused. Or thank you for the affirmation and the encouragement. Thank you for the strength to step forward this week. Whatever it is, respond. That's your prayer back to God. And then we're going to do a final movement of rest. We'll read it again. And take those as just resting in God. I'm actually like what she says. In this final reading, you're invited to release and return to a place of rest in God. You've given your response its full expression. So now you can move into a time of waiting and resting in God's presence. Like the weaned child who leans against its mother, this is a posture of total yieldedness and abandon to the great lover of your soul. So regardless of what you've pulled up and called back to God, this is a chance to say, okay, I'm going to rest for a minute. And know that this is what I'm going to remember today. This is what I'm going to deal with. This is what God's working on. It's God's job to work on it. It's ours just to be willing. So I'm going to ask that we're going to practice this morning. So be of a courageous heart and step into this with me. Prepare your minds, take a moment, get yourself comfortable, close your eyes. We'll be reading Mark 4, 35 through the end of the chapter. The first time we read through this, even the first two times, just open your heart. Wait for the things that speak to you. And just listen. Don't respond. Just wait for them. Note them if you'd like. Write them down. But no judgment. That evening, Jesus said to his followers, "Let's go across the lake." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him in the boat, just as he was. There were also other boats with them. A very strong wind came up on the lake. The waves came over the sides and into the boat so that it was already full of water. Jesus was at the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a cushion. His followers woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are drowning?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped and it became completely calm. Jesus said to his followers, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The followers were very afraid and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus and his followers went to the other side of the lake, to the area of the Gerasene people. That evening, Jesus said to his followers, "Let's go across the lake." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him in the boat, just as he was. There were also other boats with them. A very strong wind came up on the lake. The waves came over the side into the boat so that it was already full of water. Jesus was at the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a cushion. His followers woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are drowning?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped and it became completely calm. Jesus said to his followers, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The followers were very afraid and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus and his followers went to the other side of the lake, to the area of the Gerasene people. I'm going to read it again, and this time, invite God into your reflection on those words that have gotten hold of your heart. Ask him, "What is this? Why? How? When?" Invite God into that reflection as we read it again. That evening, Jesus said to his followers, "Let's go across the lake." Leaving behind the crowd, they took him in the boat just as he was. There were also other boats with them. A very strong wind came up on the lake. The waves came over the sides and into the boat so that it was already full of water. Jesus was at the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a cushion. His followers woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped, and it became completely calm. Jesus said to his followers, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The followers were very afraid and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus and his followers went to the other side of the lake, to the area of the Gerasene people. Going to read it again, and this time take those discoverings and those thoughts and give it back to God. Give it back to him. That evening, Jesus said to his followers, "Let's go across the lake." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him in a boat just as he was. There were also other boats with them. A very strong wind came up on the lake. The waves came over the sides and into the boat so that it was already full of water. Jesus was at the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a cushion. His followers woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped and it became completely calm. Jesus said to his followers, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The followers were very afraid and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus and his followers went to the other side of the lake, to the area of the Gerasene people. We're going to read it one last time. And as we read it this time, rest. You've given this to God. Take a deep breath, let go. Whatever it is that you need to do, this is your opportunity to rest in God. That evening, Jesus said to his followers, "Let's go across the lake." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him in the boat just as he was. There were also other boats with them. A very strong wind came up on the lake. The waves came over the sides and into the boat so that it was already full of water. Jesus was at the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a cushion. His followers woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped, and it became completely calm. Jesus said to his followers, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The followers were very afraid and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus and his followers went to the other side of the lake, to the area of the Gerasene people. Take these words with you this week and today. These are God's words to you. They're precious. He's working in you and he loves you. This is yours to take home.